There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, put your mittens on your kittens, and away we go. Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you here. Easy to get in touch with the show as well. One number, two different outcomes. The number, 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106 gets you through on a call or a text. In addition, you can send us one of those talkback messages using the microphone icon on the front page of the FM Talk 106.5 app. Also, it is the waning days here, and we've not been Johnny or Jill on the spot here reminding y'all, but help us out here. It's the nomination period for the nappies, and those that votenappies.com page is open. I appreciate all your nominations in the different radio shows, and you know, as it has been for a while here, it's a tough thing but a proud thing that we compete against ourselves, right, on so many shows, because we do so many live local shows. It's not like we just have like one host in one division, but pick your favorites from FM Talk 106.5 and your favorite radio station on there. Also, in addition, Leanna does such a fantastic job with our Facebook page. I always hear, you know, people like, man, that Facebook page. It was funny for a while. People thought I was doing it. I'm like, listen, that's not me. That's Leanna. If you love that Facebook page, the FM Talk 106.5 Facebook page, go to the Vote Nappies nomination and make sure to nominate the Facebook page for FM Talk 106.5 there. Okay. So go to the media section, do that, and then while you're in media after the radio show stuff, make sure to go to the favorite Facebook page and put FM Talk 106.5 in there, and Leanna, the genius behind it. So do that. Speaking of social media, though, and let's get to this right now as we get started today. So we're the waning days here of that social media trial, and so this is the latest. This is an update from Fox 11, LA, I'm sure your weather leading on scene, whatever they are, up to the minute extreme news. Fox 11, Los Angeles. All right, so they give you the latest here. In the it says jury is deadlocked now in the landmark Meta YouTube social media addiction trial. I do think this is big, and we've been talking about it off and on the show. There's just been things like wars and economy and stuff like that get in the way. But this is big because not just the individual case, but does it set precedent? So it says here, jurors are scheduled to resume deliberations today after signaling a stalemate regarding one of the defendants in the high-stakes lawsuit against tech giants Meta at YouTube. Judge Kuhl, K-U-H-L, isn't that cool? Kuhl? Judge Carolyn B. Kuhl, no way, is that said cool? Be cool, Carolyn, warned that a failure to reach a consensus would necessitate a partial retrial for the unnamed party. Wonder who that is. The trial began its deliberation on the 13th, back on the 13th of March, and centers on claims by, and they give the initials of this person, KGM, a 20-year-old from Chico, California. The plaintiff alleges that she was targeted by addictive practices during her youth. While TikTok and Snap were originally part of the lawsuit, both of them settled out of court before the trial commenced. So if there's not, and sometimes businesses will settle out of court when they didn't do anything wrong, but it's interesting that TikTok, so was that paid by the Chinese or the Ellisons? You know, because TikTok's okay now that the Ellisons own it. Everything's fine. Don't worry about it. It was a big deal when the Chinese had it, but now that the Ellisons, what, could go wrong. So TikTok and Snap both settled out of court. It says here, on Friday, the jury indicated they had moved past the liability phase. I think that's pretty interesting. So they've already decided there's liability. So the jury indicated they moved past the liability phase and were weighing financial damages. So I take from that, if they move past the liability phase and they are considering the fiscal side, the financial side, then they must feel like these plaintiffs are, the plaintiff is correct here and the defendants are guilty. Says, though Monday's note, yesterday's note, suggests a late-stage impasse regarding one specific defendant. I don't know which one of the two it is. A plaintiff's attorney here used vivid imagery during closing arguments, comparing social media companies to, quote, a lion stalking a pack of vulnerable gazelles. I will say this. Lions stalking vulnerable gazelles is what they're supposed to be doing. That's a natural system. Agitating somebody with a bot posting something on social media is not as natural. It says the platforms, so in this case it's YouTube, which I want to enter a claim on this suit as well. I think I've said this in the past, but I'll reiterate. YouTube should be sued for making people think projects are very easy and go quickly. And I'll sue on behalf of my children too, that would come with ideas of, hey, Dad, let's build another cabin. And I'm like, I built one. It took a long time. Yeah, but look at the YouTube video. They got this thing done in a weekend, Dad. It's so easy. Thanks, YouTube. And then the boy going, hey, look at this site. They welded together a robot that slings, you know, saw blades out of it. And they did it, you know, in this 30-minute episode. I'm going, okay, we'll get to work on it. So that my side suit is against YouTube, saying quit making people think that, hey, just add on another side of your house. It's just as easy. Side lawsuit. But they argued that the social media companies were stalking their listeners. And listen, there have been the whistleblowers in this. You can watch documentaries like I have on it. It was a discussed thing, right? A formula, an algorithm that continues engagement. But can I not throw in there, what would you expect them to do? Would you expect them to not try to maximize the time that people are on their social media platforms? That's how they make money. It's like they're doing their job, which is to keep people on the site so they can see ads, right? I mean, and believe me, there's a lot of dangers with this, and we'll talk about it. But at the base of it, what is the social media company supposed to do? They're supposed to maximize the use of that platform, right? So the plaintiff's attorney goes on to say, he argued that platforms utilized a Trojan horse strategy where users are drawn in by the content's wonderful and great appearance, but find themselves taken over by reels on their devices. I'll say the reels and shorts too. You know, I've got to get to some very narrow video I want to watch on YouTube. I got to go through a bunch of, we're going to go scroll past these reels, which I just, thank God I don't have a, that doesn't appeal to me as much, but I know it does a lot of people. But this is saying, so the users are drawn in by the content's wonderful and great appearance and find themselves taken over by the reels on their devices. So could I say this, when I get the circular at the grocery store, right? And I'm going in to find, they've got T-bone steaks. I like a strip steak most, but I like a T-bone. They got a T-bone steak. Or you know what? I tell you what gets me. Because the wings, you might as well be buying oil or gold out there. Not the drumettes will throw the legs for nothing. I'm talking about the wings. We're going to make some wings, right? This weekend, you go to buy the thing of wings, and it costs like these are like throwaway parts, and they're more expensive. But they put a special up. Right now, wings, it's special price. It's a BOGO or whatever, right? That's the is that not a Trojan horse strategy? So you come in to buy those wings, but what happens? You end up spending another $300 on groceries you might not have needed, but you got in there for the wings. I should have been the defense attorney on this one. On the other hand, defense attorneys out there that weren't me, but should have been, for Meta and YouTube, have questioned the medical validity of social media addiction, because that's what they're saying. This is a, and maybe it'll be defined I think it's a true thing, but will it be? Is Pfizer working on, right now, new from Pfizer? It's a media non-addict. Our new, you know, and people like, I spent all my time scrolling and now I'm fine or whatever. Don't use if you are allergic to this product. So they're saying that the attorneys here are saying social media addiction is not a medical condition, and therefore there's nothing to sue them on. They also argued that the plaintiff, so there's an individual plaintiff, right, that is acting really, I mean, there's somewhat of a class action here, but it's an individual plaintiff, this KGM from Chico, California. They argued that KGM's mental health struggles were rooted in her personal environment, specifically citing alleged verbal and physical abuse by her parents, end quote, rather than the platform algorithms. So KGM is saying that her life's a mess because of social media, which I think, the wrong person, right time, right person, wrong time, those things, it can happen. The attorneys, which you got to be imagine, or well-funded legal team from Meta and YouTube. I don't know if y'all have noticed, they got some money for that. They're saying that, well, no, this person's got other problems. It's not us, it's them in this issue. So there's, and this is going on. This is one particular case, but you've got New Mexico in the mix. You just heard about that. You've got states that are, Mississippi, right, has a social media age law. We have this discussion here in Alabama. You've got whatever happened in Texas. I think they decided they blocked that law in Texas. But you've got these other states looking at what's going to happen here, and this is going to set precedent here. And the idea being that these social media companies, at least the way I see it, and I'd love to hear from you on the phone line or the text line at 251-343-0106, that they did their job. The product's too good. The product, the people can't not do the product. So, but isn't that what the company is supposed to do? Right? Aren't they supposed to make a product that people want to use? Is the beer too tasty? If you had a beer that's real tasty, could they come out and say, listen, well, we got to get this beer off the market because these hops are so much better than the other hops. And people just said, it's really crispy and delicious. And, all right, 251-343-0106. We'll pick this up. Also, against my own better judgment, personally arguing myself, I got a story about what could happen in an Airbnb home in our area. This is something. Probably we'll just let the reporter read the story, then we'll comment.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:23, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all along. Let's see. Dun, 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 dun. Let's go to the text line here, then we'll get back a little bit more on that story. B-Dark says they ain't got nothing natural about social media. Yeah, so what she's referring to, if you just joined us, the attorney, the plaintiff's attorney in this case, the social media, the lawsuit against Meta and YouTube. But it is interesting. It's one person, this woman, who said she was addicted at a young age. She lives in, like, Chico, California. So it's specific to her, but it's not, because I think if they have a judgment here, this opens the floodgates on this, on social media. They said, you know, that Meta and YouTube used engineered addiction. And I think that there's truth to that. You can watch the documentaries. But is that different than any? Should we expect the company to be like, no, we don't need to make our platform as engaging as the other? No, their job is to keep the most number of eyes on the thing at all times, right? Now, but in this description, they said the addictive practices were something akin to a lion stalking gazelle, vulnerable gazelles. And then, like B-Dark and I were talking about, that's natural, right? Lions are supposed to stalk gazelles. That's what they're supposed to do. And making social media, I don't know. All right, texter here says, who in their right mind thinks social media is a good thing? At some point, you have to assume personal responsibility. Let's see. Michael said if we could sue over something tasting too good, the food pack, shout out to those folks, great family, their classic hero definitely has its hooks in me. That's what I'm saying. It's like the thing is so good that I can't not have it. It's like a side note here. I made a mistake about a year ago and somebody offered me a chelada, right? It's tomato juice and clamato and all that with the beer. You used to make them called red eyes or whatever. Never really, and not a big tomato juice fan. Love tomatoes, which I'll wait to see if they recover from the cold that we had last week to start bragging on my tomatoes. But and it tastes so dang good. I don't know what they have done. Not like the Bud Light ones. I don't know what they have done with it, but it's so good. Should I sue Bud Light for them making the chelada so tasty? That's what I'm getting at. I hate that it's this young lady has had her life ruined, and I think she's one of hundreds of thousands, if not millions, right? And do I see detriment in my children with these things? Yeah, I do. I do. Do I think because the thing is addictive, I mean, is it cigarettes or is it that tasty hero? Is it, it says, well, it's a Trojan horse. People come in here and then get addicted. Well, I mean, it's a Trojan horse, too, to get me to come in for the BOGO, for the wings, and then buy other things. It's just business. I mean, are we naive enough? But I get no fun defending the tech bros of the world, but should people be naive enough to assume a company is going to put a product out that they don't charge you anything for, right? So it's for data collection. They don't charge you anything for it. It's going to be for free. And then they're going to have ads that go with it. But they don't want you to stay on it long? It's good. I feel for this person. I feel for so many families out there. Because there's a lot of things. I mean, self-harm and body issues for especially young girls, teenagers. I mean, it's a real thing. But it's incumbent upon us, I think, like the texter said about personal responsibility, or for parents, our responsibility to be able to keep them off of it as much as possible. The idea that I'll put them in a box and they'll never get to, no, that's not going to happen. But to have some oversight here, sure. But what would the remedy be here, too? I mean, I know a lot of states are moving to, like, minimum age, which try to enforce that, honestly. You got to be 16 to get on social media. You might think it's a good thing, but how do you enforce that? You don't think the kids are any faster? By the time the state passes a law, we got it through the House and the Senate, the governor signed off on it, the kids figured out a way to get around it. So what would the remedy be? Maybe money for this person out in Chico, California, maybe. But what would the remedy be? The social media it has to be like the communist Chinese with their TikTok at a certain time of night, it's off. Well, that's good for the kids, yeah, but that's also totalitarian. But I know there's some of y'all that would vote for anything like that. It's fine. I mean, so what is the remedy? If you're the judge here, and you're advising the jury, the jury's coming, what do you say? Okay, this stuff is addictive, so do you tell them they can't use an algorithm to, if I look at a YouTube video on, building roof rafters, and then it's going to show me another one about, about roofing afterwards because it figures out I'm working on a project, should it not be able to do that to keep me engaged? What would the remedy be? Ben says, Sean, get ready to receive that letter from my lawyer. The shows on FM Talk 106.5 are too addictive. Well, on purpose, right? I just wonder what they're going to come back with in this. And say, okay, well, Meta, YouTube, y'all are guilty, and you've got to pay this money and do what? What would the thing you got? What's the remedy? 251-343-0106. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 in Midday Mobile. Good time to check in with my buddy Blaine Price at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. But let's talk some tractors, man, and compact tractor packages. What you got going on?
We've got quite a few of them in stock, Sean. You know, everybody's getting ready for garden season. They're wanting to plant a garden or getting ready to go up to the turkey woods. We've got all of our compact tractors right now. You buy at least two Land Pride implements to go with it, and we're going to throw in a 7x20 trailer for free. Kubota is still offering the strong financing terms on the compacts, as well as skid steers, mini excavators, side-by-sides, zero-turn mowers. But we got a full stock of Land Pride implements to go with these tractors right now, so come by, see us, check them out. Like I said, we've got plenty of them in stock, and they're steadily arriving as well, so... Yeah, come on, and check them out.
Well, what I like, too, is, y'all, when you get that Love Land Pride, I bought in the last year and a half or so, when I bought a disc from y'all and a rotary mower from y'all, and
right.
Land Pride makes it to match your orange tractor. So if you want to have that, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just so it matches up. Because, you know, I'm the kind of guy that is all about image, right? So they look good.
That's right.
And Land Pride's built, you know, I mean, I can tear anything up, and the Land Pride lives up to be trying to tear it up and survive. So it's good stuff. All right, so people want to check out those deals, see in person, and can they see any of this online?
Yeah, so our website is parrishtractor.com. You can browse through all of our new and our used inventory on there, as well as our rental fleet. So parrishtractor.com, or you can come by and see us here in Robertsdale at Parrish Tractor right here on Highway 59. We're here Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturdays 8 till noon, or you can give us a call at 251-947-4171.
Hey, thank you, Blaine.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, there he goes, Blaine over Parrish Tractor. And it is gardening season. Oh, it's been gardening season, though. I did mulch in the garden yesterday at I can't get a bad addiction. I can't. It's like the grow. Here we go. Let's sue them, because I get lots of my, you know, lots of my vegetables I grow that I get started. Get them from like A Bloom, right? Shout out to A Bloom folks. Also, cottonseed meal. They had some in as of last week. I don't know if they still. I know that came up on Bill's show this weekend. But the grocery stores, I got to go in there to get the groceries, the chiladas and the wings, right? And they have, I don't need right now any more plants. Right now I'm ready to switch over to seeds and okra and all that stuff. But they've got them right there. It's the way they position like the candy and stuff so the kids bother you when you're checking out. They've got those, you know, tomato plants and peppers and all the good stuff there. Right there where you see it. And then you got, and then I come home with groceries and some more plants for some reason. So maybe next lawsuits against them. All right, Michael said platforms like Meta are salivating over the idea of age verification. That's the holy grail over personalized advertisement. Jason says, what about the same penalties or requirement for social media as adults that provide alcohol to minors? Some would say social media is much worse. Yeah, some would, but it can be used, as social media can be used in a way, like there's no way to use alcohol that's okay for the kids. But there's a way to use social media that's okay for the kids. But so your remedy, would the remedy be putting in these minimum ages, you know? I mean, and yes, just same way they could get around, have an ID for booze or whatever you put, you know, to get around this. But is that the remedy here? I mean, I think that at least is more logical than saying they got to make their product less engaging. Addictive is the word plaintiff's attorneys use, which is fair, I think. But isn't that the job? Isn't that the job of the platform? I mean, to think that they would have a meeting and say, you know what we got to do is make this so it's not as engaging to people. We got to make this thing to where people won't want to stay on it for longer. I mean, does it surprise anybody? And we'll see what happens. Because, you know, last year when this went in front of SCOTUS, it was the Texas law and the Florida law, I think. And it was, I think this one was about how they were censoring some users of it And SCOTUS sent it back to the lower courts. I wonder if this goes through in California and this one makes it to the Supreme Court and where they go with it. So it's fairly ubiquitous, right, in our country. I'm sure there's a percentage and people who never get on social media. Cool, good for you. I think it's probably a healthy thing to not be on it. But it's going to be, it's like people that like pizza. You know, you'll see polls out there. There are some people who don't like pizza, but it's not a bunch of them. I would say the same thing, people that somehow engage with social media, you know, once a week, once a year, something like that. I think it's going to be a very big percentage of Americans. So what do they do with this? I don't know. It's we'll find out, I guess, today. We're still waiting on what comes out of that courtroom. All right. Another story, and we'll probably talk about this with Erica Thomas when we get her on, but the story she posted up at 1819 News, you know, it was the discussion from last week because somebody talked about Anaya's Law. I was talking about with the man who brought it in and got it through, Chip Brown. I was talking with him on Friday about Anaya's Law. And here is this thing that was a law in name for Anaya Blanchard, and still the case with the dirtbag that killed her had not finished up. People were surprised, like me, that, hey, we already got a law based on her name and hadn't made it through. So there's some celebration last week when the jury in Montgomery found dirtbag guilty of this murder. Then I saw this story over at 1819 News. It says, justice wasn't served. Anaya Blanchard's mom breaks silence on traumatic murder trial. Says Angela Haley Harris said it took her days to process a conviction. Can you imagine that, too? All those years, she's waiting on justice. Her baby's dead. Says Angela Haley Harris said it took her days to process a conviction because it wasn't what the family wanted. She said the trial was traumatic for her family, but wanted to thank supporters. She said, what I will say to you, what I will say is you may not understand, and some people may not understand how we feel about the verdict, and some do. But we waited 6.5 years to get justice for Anaya, and when you have 3 counts of capital murder, and there's some things I can't say, I'm going to have to wait. They still don't want me to say a lot of things right now. When you have 3 counts of capital murder and you think you can count on people to get it right, you think you can count on them to get it right because he was facing the death penalty or life without parole, of course. Nothing will bring our beautiful Anaya back, and those sentences weren't really good enough, right? But I want to tell you our feelings and why we feel like we do right now. I'm going to go into details of the trial. I know it's just... I just know it was traumatic, and some of you that were there know, and then to get the verdict of felony murder and murder, and knowing that he is not going to get the death penalty, and he is not going to get life without the possibility of parole, I now know he's going to get out, but my daughter deserved for him to get maximum punishment, so it felt like justice wasn't served. The mom again said she's not being ungrateful, but she wants to be honest. Says she's dealing with the sentence like experiencing the death of her daughter all over again. So, while they found him guilty of murder, yeah, it's not a death penalty and it's not a life sentence. And so to think about it, you know, it was worth noting because so many of us have said, oh, right, great, they got him, they sentenced him. Well, there's the truth in that. That's the reaction from the mom in this story. So sad. Also, while we're talking about Montgomery, I want y'all to know, make sure you update your apps on your phone, depending on what the lawsuits say. Maybe this app will be so addictive that we'll have to bring a lawsuit on it. But this from Kyle Hamrick over at Lanyap. It's that season, y'all. The Alabama Shark Alert will be launching this coming month in April, which, by the way, a man quoted in the story, Chris Blankenship, who is commissioner of DCNR, is going to be on with us Thursday at noon on the show, says Alabama's new mass notification system for statistically rare, well written, Kyle, Alabama's new mass notification system for statistically rare shark attacks in Mobile and Baldwin County's beaches will finally go into effect next month. So you remember all the talk about it, but it's not been into effect until now. says legislation inspired by a Mountain Brook teenager who lost a hand and leg in a shark attack in Florida in 2024 became law last year, directs the Alabama Department of Conservation and Natural Resources to work with emergency management agencies and law enforcement offices on the state's coast to set up an amber-style notification system for shark attacks. Commissioner Blankenship told LANYAP the procedures are in place and ready to be used. A copy of the instructions states the system will go into effect on Monday, April 13th, and will only apply to Mobile and Baldwin counties. You know what? We should make, because we could talk about bull sharks and going further up the river, we should make it apply to all 67 counties. They said, well, they're not sharks up there. Yeah, but they put the rest of them voted for a law down here. Says, here's how it works. The Lulu Gribbon Shark Alert System requires local 911 dispatchers to inform respective emergency management agencies if they receive a call about a shark attack. Once they arrive on scene, first responders must also confirm the attack to EMA. Now, remember where this started? What they wanted with the app and the, if you see, remember the unusual shark activity and all that stuff, that, you know, like Dan Brennan famously said, if the shark's playing a saxophone, that would qualify as unusual shark activity. Them swimming around the Gulf of Mexico or America is not particularly unusual because that's like what they're supposed to do. So a lot of that was pared back. So the way it is, if there's a shark attack, and at this point, it seems like this would be procedure anyways. But they said, okay, 911 gets a call about a shark attack, and the first responders get there, confirm there's a shark attack, then they send out the alert. Says upon confirmation of attack, the local director of the county EMA, so Mobile or Baldwin County, will publish a shark alert via the Federal Emergency Management Agency Integrated Public Alert and Warning System, which is, the acronym is IPAWS, and we deal with it here. So we're an IPAWS station. The way you get a, you know, a tornado watch and warning, you got a flash flood warning. You've got, the, you know, turn around, don't drown with the robot voice, tell that stuff that comes over our air. So we're IPAWS. We're here to give information to the public. So we will be as well, if there is a shark attack, which is rare as hen's teeth, but if there is one, then you will hear on this station. It'll break in. I'll be talking, Jeff, Dan, somebody will be talking, all of a sudden it'll take over. When that happens, it takes over. We don't have any control. It'll take over and tell you this. Says it'll come out. It'll go on to radio stations, wireless devices in designated geographic areas, which that's how those systems work. Like we get an alert. It's only for the counties like in Alabama. We cover counties in Florida and Mississippi, but we only get those alerts for Alabama counties we serve. It'll take over if it's in that area. Same thing here. The geographic area of the shark attack, an alert will go out. The message shall be similar to, quote, a shark alert is in effect for this area near, and then fill in specific location. Please use caution in the water. So you'd be riding down the road. The alert will go out. The sound will go out. They'll say, that, you know, it kind of, you get a little roll in there, a little dead air, and then it comes on and say, a shark alert is in effect for the area near, fill in your favorite beach. Please use caution in the water. That's what it does. Once the alert goes out, the Alabama EMA will relay the information to DCNR. And so there you go. By the way, numbers here, do we think this is going to be going off all the time? Kyle writes here, shark sightings off Alabama's beaches are common. Yeah, because that's where they live. But shark attacks are not. According to the Florida Museum of Natural History International Shark Attack File, there have only been 10 unprovoked shark attacks along Alabama's coast since 1837. There is no information on attacks provoked by humans attempting to interact with sharks. So there you go. So shark alert, there it is. That's how it's gonna come over your radio, come over your phone. And it will say, a shark alert is in effect for the area near blank location. Please use caution in the water. All right, we're now all duly noted, and we'll be right back. More Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
1053 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Tuesday, John Sharp from AL.com coming up in just a little bit. And a reminder, too, nomination process of last few days of this. Get us over the hill here, votenappies.com, in the media section for your favorite radio station shows, you know, weekend shows, you know, specialty show, all those sports shows, all that in there. We're competing with each other a lot of times here, and I like it, at FM Talk 106.5. And then also a Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. Leanna behind the FM Talk, the super addictive FM Talk 106.5 Facebook page. Make sure to put it in your favorite Facebook page locally. All right. Grab a couple of these texts. Maybe we'll save the story. I called it PP&B. PP&B story, but it may... We may have to wait till later next hour. Let's see. CB Carl says, oh, yeah, my tomatoes and squash seem to have recovered from the cold. Looks like I have to replant cucumbers. I've got some tomato plants that did okay. Some that got knocked, even though they were covered and all those kind of things. It just got too cold out at my house. Leon in Foley said, my wife, who's a retired nurse, worked in South Baldwin ER years ago. She told me there were more shark attacks than what got published in the news. She believes the tourism industry didn't want it getting out. Okay, well, she has one view of it. That's a nice bottle deck, right? If she's a nurse to see those, I'm interested. I'm just thinking, Leon, like in my group, my friend, in my expanded friend group, not just people I hang out with all the time. Like, you know, the folk I've been fishing my whole life on the Gulf Coast, and there's only one person I know who got bitten by a shark, and the shark was in the boat when they got bitten. I got people, you know, don't do it anymore. Used to dive a bunch, you know, from diving to fishing and all that. And then just the amount of hours I spend just swimming in the Gulf of Mexico. People, I just don't. I mean, does it happen? Sure. We have some. The reason we know those situations is they are fairly rare. But that is interesting, Leon. If they're sweeping it under the rug, I just don't know of the people. Out of all the people I know and people that know that person that. It goes off, that happens that often. Very funny, Maximus says, I think they're going to need a bigger alarm. Matt says he wants to hear the EAS alert sound again. I'm not going to do it. And I can't do the, he's picking on me, but I can't do the real one. There's a radio station that was, this was years ago, kind of a landmark case. They use that sounder that you hear for like a commercial. And it's they clip the sound, and they paid big fines on that. King of all unnamed texters says, I'm thankful I carry my shark repellent in the glove box for when the alarm sounds. Good. B-Dark Sean, do you know what the budget is on that shark alert thing? Google said it pretty much got an open checkbook. Yeah, we got the numbers on it. We did get the numbers on it before. I don't remember them, B-Dark, off the top of my head. But like I said, Chris Blankenship, he didn't come up with this. He just, the legislature votes on something and he has to do it, right, as a commissioner. He'll be on the show Thursday. Maybe we'll ask about that. Michael says here, also, I would like to thank Israel, Trump, and the neocons for $5.29 a gallon. The diesel price, I mean, gas is tough, but diesel, I watch it, Michael, riding by. I'm like, God bless. And you know why that I got lucky? Because I was toying with the idea for my next truck to go diesel. But maybe the price of diesel trucks is coming down right now because of the gas, the fuel price. That's a good point. Chris at Orange Beach said, what in the world are the banner plane pilots going to do about shark alert? That's all they see are sharks. Yeah, but it's not. So go back and hear what they said here in Kyle's story. And it, like I said, from what they asked for, remember when we were just lampooned that legislation to where it is, it's pared back, and I think it's doable. So, Chris, what has to happen is there has to be a shark attack reported to 911. Okay, so you have to, and then, yeah, so 911 dispatchers receive a call about a shark attack, then the first responders out there, then they have to confirm there has been a shark attack to EMA. And then EMA pushes the button, so to speak. that goes to that iPods that takes over our airwaves and your phones and all that. So there has to be an attack. It's not just, remember back in the day, it was like, oh gosh, if you see a shark doing something unusual, but it's not that anymore. So, DEI texture. I prefer Air PNP. That's pretty funny. That story, we'll just have to wait till after John. But it's something. It's a local story that's taken, unfortunately, national attention. Oh, by the way, Backstrap Stacker says the over-under on shark alert per year is 1.5, and I'll take the under.